All right, the book of Jonah. This is a very interesting story, narrative. In fact, as you read the book, and I trust most of us have read through this, let me ask you a question. When you get to the end of the book of Jonah, do you like or dislike Jonah? I'm sorry? Or you give me a third.
Ride the fence.
Is the man Jonah an admirable man? According to his testimony in this book. No. Interesting, isn't it? Because this is the book of the Bible, a prophet of God, but by the time we reach the end of it, our opinion of him is, I don't think that's the way God wants me to be. And I'm going to agree with you on that. That is true. But it's interesting to think about, why has God given us such a narrative, such a story? Why has this been put here for us to know, to understand, to think about? You know what? I think that's exactly why. I think God is using the example of this story in Jonah's life to truly cause us to think. To think about God's mercy. To think about how judgmental we can be. To think about how easy it is for us to put God in a box and say, this is who you should be, God. The book of Jonah, let's look at it. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. All right. You being good students of the Word, there is a phrase repeated in what I just read. What phrase is it? From the presence of the Lord. We're going to talk about that tonight. But before we do, I want us to just get a little bit of background. Who is Jonah? Well, if we want to know and understand who Jonah is, then let's look back to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 14. In 2 Kings chapter 14, this is the chronicle of the kings of Judah and Israel. And here we're going to see a couple things about Jonah. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. And he here in verse 25 is Jeroboam the second. He restored the coast of Israel from entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spoke by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath Epher. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Lord said, not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Let me ask you, from your reading there, Jonah was a prophet of which region of Israel? It was divided into two sections. Israel was the northern, and Judah was the southern. Jonah was a prophet primarily to whom? toward the northern tribes, which were called... I'm having a hard time hearing you because of the fans. Israel. Okay? So you have the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah described here. This one specifically, Jeroboam, is a king of Israel. And he is fulfilling a prophecy of Jonah, who is from that region and a prophet to those people. Now, I gave you a handout there, a map, and I did not put this together. I will not take credit for it, but thankfully this gentleman down there in the bottom put it together, and I think it's a great illustration for us tonight. Take a look there where it says Israel and Judah. You see Gath Hepher. That is a region in Israel, the northern tribes, commonly sometimes called Galilee. Jonah is from that area. If you look at a map that kind of zeroes in on Israel, this area is just to the west of the Sea of Galilee. And that is where Jonah is from. Okay, so what's happening during this time period? Well, during this time, Israel is living in wickedness. They're not pleasing God. How many good kings did the tribe, did Israel have? Zero. Okay, so the kings did not please God. And so Israel was the first to be taken into exile. By what empire? What empire came and conquered Israel? The Assyrians, okay? The Assyrians. In what year, did anybody know? Bible survey? 722? In that area, 722 BC, okay? Now, Nineveh, interestingly enough, is one of the principal cities and eventual capital of the Assyrian Empire. So this place is important to the Assyrians. Now, look at your map. You see where Nineveh is. Nineveh actually is in modern-day Iraq. It is on the eastern side of the Tigris River. The Tigris River isn't shown on your map, but it's just on the eastern side of the Tigris River. It is approximately 550 to 600 miles from Israel. That's an approximation, obviously. But just to give you an idea, about 550 to 600 miles from Israel. The Assyrians, according to this passage and also in the book of Nahum, it talks about Nineveh. They're known for their wickedness. History tells us, especially of their atrocities of war. They treated their war prisoners horribly. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but they were known for just being cruel people. The city of Nineveh has been excavated today, and they have learned a great deal about this city, and it was extremely ornate. It had a lot of quote-unquote modern conveniences and a lot of things that we might think, whoa, they had that? They did. And so it was a place very advanced. We see by the end of this book that it was a place of over 100,000 people, 120,000 people or more. So it was quite a place. It was quite a place in the sight of God as well, because God had this to say, Jonah, go and cry against that city, for their wickedness is come up before me. You know, that's very visual. What does that mean? That's a visual by saying as an aroma from burning incense arises and it comes up and you catch the whiff, as the stench of a decaying body arises and you catch the stench, so the sin of this people, the sin and wickedness of Nineveh, arose like an aroma, a stench that reached God, and he had had enough. Or at least Jonah thought. But you know, Jonah, in the back of his mind, and interestingly enough, you're going to see this at the end of the book, when God told him to do this, Jonah in his mind said, "You know what, God? You're the kind of God that just might have mercy on these people." And Jonah describes, actually, that's one of the reasons I did not go. So, what happens here in verse 3 is Jonah, he rises up and he flees unto Tarshish. Now, we aren't totally positive where Tarshish is, but we do know that is far away from Nineveh. The most common thought, as your map shows, is that Tarshish is on the southern coast of Spain. And you look at that, and that is about 2,500 miles away. It's by boat through the sea. And this is a common trading place in Solomon's ships. It's talked about ships of Tarshish, and this was a place of known of great trading and metalworking. And Jonah had in his mind, this is where I will go. So Jonah, he rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He goes down to Joppa. Now Joppa is, as you can see on your map, it is southwest of Geth Hepher. It is northwest of Jerusalem. It was a port city of Judah, actually. And so Jonah is making great effort. I want you to notice something here. Jonah, he's rising up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He goes down to Joppa, and he finds a ship going to Tarshish, and he pays a fare to go away. This man is so intent on running from God that he will even pay to do it. And so he pays the fare, and he's on a boat, and he heads across the sea. Yes, that phrase is repeated from the presence of the Lord. It's repeated here in verse 3, but it is also repeated down further. When you see in verse 10, the sailors, they were exceedingly afraid and said unto Jonah, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. Because he told them. He straight up told them, "I am fleeing from the presence of the Lord." Now, another observation I want you to know is Lord in this book, as you see it, it's all caps. Who can remember what name of God in the Hebrew that is speaking of? Yahweh or Jehovah. All right? This is the covenant name of God. This was the name of God by which the Jewish people would refer to their God, Jehovah. Now, in our remaining time left, I would like us to think about this concept or this thought of presence of the Lord. Jonah, and we do this. We sit and read the book of Jonah. And we look at this and see what he's doing, and we say, don't we? How foolish. How foolish. This is ridiculous. Don't you understand that you can't flee from the presence of the Lord? Haven't you read the rest of the Bible? Do we do that? We see this and we can look at that and we can make these judgments, but I want you to understand, I want you to think and put yourself in Jonah's situation here. He is living in Israel. The Assyrians are all around them. The Assyrian Empire looms large and it's over them. and rumors have reached the cities that the Assyrians are coming. You know, Jonah here is not that much, is prophesying not that much before the Assyrians come to take Israel. You see, Jonah understands what wickedness is all about. He understands its reality. And so he hears God in his mercy say, "Go and preach to this wicked city." I want to ask you, what kind of emotions would go through your mind if you were asked to go and preach the gospel to a city that you know is your enemy, that you know is full of great wickedness? There would be fear. There would be anger. There would be questioning and doubts. God, did you really say that? Now, I'm not justifying Jonah's decision. I mean, God doesn't justify it. But yet, we see him fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Did you know that there's a lot to be said about the presence of the Lord in the Scriptures? What happened in the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve, they sinned. Right? They ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They knew they had done wrong. They sinned. And what did they do? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Let's think about this in light of God's presence. In Adam and Eve's case, God's presence meant whole fellowship, sweet communion with God. And their sin caused them to step away and want to be set apart from that. They were ashamed. They were going away from the presence of the Lord. You see, the presence of the Lord, there is sweet communion and fellowship. What about Cain? Cain in Genesis chapter 4. Cain, of course, he killed his brother Abel. Remember, they were having their time of worship before the Lord. They were bringing their sacrifices to the Lord. And the Lord accepted Abel's, rejected Cain's. Cain knew what he was to do. God gave him a chance to repent, and he did not. And the Scripture says, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord." Now, I know, and you know, that God is present everywhere. That's called omnipresence, right? Omnipresence. We know that. But I want you to see this concept in the Old Testament of the significance of being directly in and knowing the presence of the Lord right then before you. It's a very clear understanding. He is here before me now. Adam and Eve understood it. Cain and Abel understood it as they worshiped. And Cain, it describes him as very clearly walking away from the presence of the Lord. For Cain, it was a visual turning of his back and walking away from all that he knew was true about God. You see, in God's presence, there is not only fellowship and sweet communion, but there is worship and blessing. There is worship and blessing. And Cain walked away from that. And we know that Cain walked away from worshiping God and from the blessing of God's presence. God did not bless Cain's heritage and legacy. He became the father of the evil ones in the world. We also read about another going away from God's presence, and that is Satan. The book of Job. In the book of Job, it is described that on a certain time and day, they come to the Lord. I don't know what this setting was, but all the spirits would come to the Lord and give a report. Now, I love the fact that all throughout this, God is the authority. God's in charge. And it's interesting that these beings are reporting to him. But even in the case of Job, God is in control. And it is described in the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 12, and chapter 2, verse 7, that the Lord says unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in your power." Speaking of Job, "only upon himself put not forth your hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You know what is in the presence of the Lord? Not only sweet communion and fellowship, not only worship and blessing, but in the presence of the Lord, there is a standard and authority. Now, just because Satan walked away from the presence of the Lord doesn't mean he's out of the control of God. I'm not saying that. But when he was there in the presence of the Lord, God was in control. And in the presence of the Lord, there is authority. There is sovereignty. And perhaps as Jonah is considering the presence of the Lord, he wants to run from it because he knows God is the supreme authority. God is in control. Even of the situation with Nineveh, God's the one who's ultimately going to say what's going to happen or not happen. You see, God's presence is a wonderful place. It's an incredible place. There are many places in the scriptures that talk of being in God's presence. David, he tried to find the extent of it and he couldn't in Psalm 139. "Where can I go from your presence?" He couldn't find the end of it. God's presence throughout the Old Testament, you see it as reason for rejoicing. 1 Chronicles 16:33, David speaks, "Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord." God's presence is a sign of judgment. "Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob." Jeremiah 4:26 says, "I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger." You see, God's presence is so real and true for us today, the church, isn't it? Yes, Jonah, he was not a part of the church as we speak of it today. But you know what? God is present with us even now. And I just jotted a couple things down for us to contemplate as we think about the presence of the Lord. For you to know and realize the presence of the Lord is for you to know God's love. For you to know God's love. Romans chapter 8. It says that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The presence of the Lord not only means love, but it means peace. In Philippians chapter 4, we read these words. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The presence of the Lord means love. There's peace. How about discipline? How about discipline? Hebrews chapter 12 speaks of us as sons of God that receive the discipline of the Lord. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." There's discipline in the presence of the Lord. But not only that, there's comfort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we read about the comfort that we find in knowing the Lord. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 1:3, "Blessed be God, even Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." indeed the Holy Spirit was called the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside, the Comforter. And there are many other things that you could say about God's presence in our lives today as believers in the church. And if we want to take something away from this message today, Jonah sought to flee from the presence of the Lord. May we today understand, yes, the presence of the Lord is something we cannot flee from. Indeed, you know, it's something we want to run to. It's where we want to find our place. It is where we want our mind to focus upon. God is here now. And because I am here and God is here, I know God's love. I can know God's peace. I will be disciplined and set straight by the Lord, and I will know His comfort and many other things. Jonah, he fled from the presence of the Lord. Ultimately, God was right there all the time. May we be people who bask in the wonder and glory and awe of being in the presence of the Lord. May we rejoice in that. God, thank you for our time together. And it is a privilege to speak of your presence. And you are here right now, and we rejoice, Lord, that you are hearing us, that you have given us your word, and Lord, that you are at work in our lives, and you are going to be at work in our lives as we go from this place. And I indeed, Lord, I want to pray that you'd empower your people. Give them strength. Give them, help them to understand your peace throughout the week, especially in conflict or difficulties. Lord, may they know your love, and indeed, may they understand how vast it is and great and wonderful. Oh God, direct us. Help us to walk a straight path. Discipline us, Lord, and train us. Show us when we're wrong. And may we know your comfort. In Jesus' name, amen.